arose in meetings. That was an idea which was started by a guy called Constantine, who was a Roman emperor, who became a Christian and established buildings like this, and people sitting in rows, and a priest standing at the front doing all the speaking, and the people doing all the listening. In fact, at one point, even the priests were the only ones allowed to sing, and the people weren't even allowed to sing. And so it just established the most rigorous way of doing church. But you know, isn't it fascinating that God chose a nation, Israel, to reveal himself in? A nation which has such a strong sense of community. It's community and support. It was always that, that was the principle of their life. That people had a sense of community and a sense of caring for each other. It was in that environment that God chose to reveal his son. God chose those people for himself. And he invested in them his heart for caring for each other. Just picture the scene. Nobody's heard a word from heaven for 400 years. Not a sound. It's been silent. And these bunch of shepherds are sitting up on a hill with their sheep at night, looking after them, watching that nothing steals the sheep. When suddenly, out of the sky comes this bright light, and multitudes of angels begin to appear in the sky. And suddenly they're able to see them, because they were there all along. They're able to see them. And the angels come and they sing and they shout, telling them this amazing story that this day in the city of Bethlehem is born the Savior of the whole world. Can you imagine what it was like for those guys who'd only heard that 400 years ago somebody used to have some sort of revelation from heaven, and suddenly it's happening to them? Why the shepherds? Why not the most learned, erudite, spiritual leaders of the day? But instead, the shepherds. The guys who can't probably had very little formal education, but they were just the people. And those are the ones God chose to reveal himself to right in the beginning and show that he had come. I'm going to read you a lovely piece of scripture. It's from John chapter 1. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, spelt with a capital W, because it refers to Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So Jesus is the Word. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only to witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who would believe him, whether Jew or Gentile, who would ever believe in his name and who he is, the Son of God, that he has come to rescue us, he gives them the right to be known as children of God. And it says children not born of natural birth, but children born of choice. God's chosen us to be his sons and his children, his daughters. And so the reason I'm sitting down is I didn't want to stand here and be formal. I wanted to try and engender some sense of family this morning and some sense of this is how the early church would have been. The early church would have been a group of people, probably up to 20, meeting in somebody's house. 1 Corinthians verse 14 tells us when you come together, one brings a hymn, one will bring a revelation, one will bring a prophecy, one will bring an interpretation. There was never a priest who stood and interpreted God to the people. All the people were priests and heard God. And what happened in a meeting is every person said, hey, I've got some revelation. I've got some understanding. Can I tell you about this? And they told, then the next one would say, I've got something that God showed me. Or, you know, I was walking, God blessed me, God helped me. And so the body built itself up. And the whole body grew by caring for each other and by sharing life with one another. You see, God's plan was always that we would be a family. God's plan would never be that we would be some sort of organized, sitting in rows, religious organization. I know it's practical today to get more people in and have a PA system and we all sit in rows. But I think it's really unfortunate that it went that way. Because I don't think it was God's plan. I think it was His best plan for His body. And you know, there are parts of the world, like in China, where the church still works this way. The church works the way we're doing it now. Sons of God. God came to make you sons. Father came to fetch His children. He sent His son to say, bring my children back to me. And do you know, the scriptures tell us that the whole of creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Who are the sons of God? His church. What's His church busy doing? Having meetings. For the sons are people who live. They are the sons of the Father. And so if you are a son of your father, you live in his household. As Caleb used to say, you can go to your dad's fridge and get something out the fridge, but the visitors can't do that. Well, in the same way, this morning, you're a father's son, whether you're a girl or a boy, and father's sons can come and fetch whatever they need so they can be the blessed ones, the ones who live in the privileged position of being the sons of the Father. You see, up to that moment, before Jesus came, there was a law whereby man related to the Father. And that was all there was. They knew a Messiah would come, but they didn't know when. And it says when He came, His own didn't recognize Him. The Jewish people never even recognized Him. And you know, the sinners of His day were the ones who loved Him. They couldn't spend enough time with Him. They loved hanging out with Him. But the religious guys hated Him, because He broke every norm. He destroyed everything that they'd built their lives on. And He came to say, this is finished. And you know, right at the end, we read in the Gospel of Matthew, the good news, that when Jesus died, at that moment that He died, when He gave up His spirit, the temple, which had a curtain in it, which in a sense screened off the holy place from the rest of the people, that curtain was torn from top to bottom, just ripped open. And for the first time, God had removed every division between His children and Himself. And that was the invitation. It wasn't meant to be an insult to the religious people. It was meant to be an invitation to say, I've opened the way for you. Anybody can come in and be a son of the Father now. Anybody can come in and speak of what the Father has done. Anybody can come in and enjoy all the benefit of being a son of the Father. So, you're sons of the Father this morning. Primarily, you're sons. You're sons who do things, but you're not sons after you've become a doctor or you've become a lawyer, become a dentist, or whatever you might be. You're a son who does something else. And so, always moving from the position of sonship, we work in a completely different way. We care in a very different way. We share life in a very different way. This church, the body that Jesus came to establish, was meant to be a place where people cared for each other. People loved each other. People saw that nobody was going without. People made sure that if there's anybody who had lack, they gave whatever they had, and they gave extravagantly. They sold their properties and gave the money so that those who were poor would have food and would have somewhere to live. This was what the Father came to establish. He sent His Son to establish a family on the earth. He never sent His Son to establish a religious system. That was man's idea that came in because we always hold on to what we can create. You know, there's a lovely story of Jesus going to eat in Simon's home, Lazarus's home. He'd raised from the dead. And Lazarus had two sisters, and Mary and Martha. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet as He just sat talking. But Martha, she figured something needed to be done. A meal needed to be fixed. So Martha ran off, and she was running to and fro, whatever it was that she was doing to produce this meal. And eventually she got really irked that her sister was just sitting there listening to Jesus. And she started, she said, Lord, don't you even care that my sister leaves all the work to me? And he said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things, but only one thing is necessary. And Mary has made the right choice. And what she has chosen will never be taken away from her. All that God ever wants with us, family, is a relationship. He never wanted our performance. He didn't want us to perform for Him. He wanted us to love Him and to be in a relationship with Him. The Bible is totally full of the fact that God chose us to be His sons in a relationship with Him. Man came along with a religious system and started to intone the way he spoke in church so that certain dramatic voices would produce certain dramatic results in people. But you know, I believe what God wants now is for us to love each other, for us to love and to take that love out into the world, because it's only love that's going to change this world. It's the love of the Father that is being revealed in the sons that the Father wants to take out. To some people, it's a frightening concept. It'd be much easier if I could just hand out a tract or I could preach a sermon to somebody. To love them is probably going to cost me something. But I can step behind my preach and do that instead. But this Christmas message is about a father who loves his children and sent his son to fetch them. There isn't any more to this message than that. If we can remember this, Father fetched his children. We did nothing to earn it. Ephesians chapter 2 says it's by grace you've been saved. Grace is God's unmerited favor. You did nothing to be saved. Father chose to save us because he wants his children back. So this year, as it unfolds, I believe what we've got to do is we've got to plumb the depth of understanding what it means to be sons and daughters of the Father. What it means to be a family, the family of God. What the family does. What does the family do for each other? How do families live? My family was not a good example. I had to learn a new one. But maybe you had a better example than I did. But families, as far as I know, are people who care about each other, love each other, and share their lives with each other. You know, folk, anybody who comes in here, the most important thing they can find, they don't need a great sermon. They don't need a great tract. They need to be loved. People come to church because they need something. The Father gave us what the people need. It seems like such a simple thing to do, yet it's the most costly thing you could do, to give somebody time and give him your attention and to love them. This is the message of Christmas. God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's the message of Christmas. The gift is the eternal life the Father gives us. Do you know that in a million years' time, we'll be sitting not in little straight rows or curved ones. We'll be sitting together and we'll be talking. And that wonderful song, Amazing Grace, ends with that wonderful line, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing the praise. No less days, we'll still have millions of years, millions that never end, to gaze on the beauty of God, and to talk about all the things that God has done and to fill ourselves with Him. This is our life. This goes on forever. So Daniel, in a million years' time, we'll talk about today. I'll be there before you, I think, just by natural kind of attrition. But I want to know what you did. I'll ask you when I see you, hey, Daniel, what happened? What you do with what you had? Who got changed because of what's in you? Ruth, how many people's lives changed because you're a carrier of the Father's love? Charlotte, through your weaving, you encountered multitudes of people. And they discovered something called the Father and his love for them. Some of you thought you were coming to do a job. Some of you thought you were coming to work for the Father. You know, like Martha, it's actually easier to be busy with many things. It's not so easy just to give God our time and give him our hearts. But that's really what he sent his son for. Not for what you can do for him, but you would rejoice in what he has done for you. You would be full of everything he's done for you. The most important thing you could do, like Mary, is sit at his feet and just listen to him. Sometimes I wake up in the night and I can't sleep, particularly on Saturday nights. And I used to just sit there and get anxious and get irritated and all the rest of it. Now I just go in my mind. I go to the Father's throne room. And I just go in and I just kind of get as near as I can to the throne. And I just sit there and I listen to him. Say, Father, what do you want to say? And he says the same thing to me all the time. I love you. And I want you to love me. That's what Father wants. There's a sad scripture in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19, where the Father says to Israel, his people, he says, I hoped that you would call me Father. God's heart is, I hoped you'd call me Father. But you wouldn't. You didn't want to. You wanted a religious system instead. But what I planned was that you'd call me Father. And we'd have a relationship. And I'd be your father. And you'd be my sons. And that's what Father sent his son for. To make more sons. And connect them to the Father. I want to ask you to do something for this year. I want to ask you to pioneer the depth of the Father's love. Make it the objective of this year. Oh, it seems more important that we would preach deathly words of God is angry with you and he wants you saved. He wants you out there doing stuff. But primarily, he wants you to be sons first. You see, the Father wants you to do from his presence, not do stuff into his presence. When the sons are confident in their Father's presence, they can do anything. The Father will love them and use them to love other people. What a simple message. No amazing scriptures, but it's the message that the Father has for us. Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. He sent his Spirit to live in us. And the Spirit constantly reminds us of what the Father wants to say, reminds us of what Jesus said. The Spirit constantly confirms with our spirits that we are the sons of the Father. Allow the Holy Ghost to fulfill in you the understanding of your sonship this morning. Sons of the Father. Just shut your eyes and focus your heart on Father this morning. Father, we want to thank you so much that you loved us. You wanted your children back. And you sent your son Jesus to fetch us. So in this Christmas service, we remember the joyous night that Jesus was born. Because that was the unveiling of the beginning of the sons returning to the Father. So this is a celebration and a thanksgiving of the Father's love. This is nothing more than a thanksgiving for Father's love. The greatest gift we would ever have. Father's love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Thank you. So, who's got something they want to especially thank Father for this morning? It doesn't have to be amazing. You can sit, you don't even have to stand. But who can thank Father for something this morning in their life? Something good that happened in your life this year? Who? Yeah, Ruth. Let me bring this to you.
I want to thank God for my heritage and for my grandparents. All of them walked with the Lord and have got a real testimony of faithfulness. And my grandmother died this year, which was absolutely fine, but it was amazing the way she died, the way that God took her into glory, and the way that he prepared my grandfather to be without her. She died at home in her bed, but before she died, my grandfather knew something was wrong with her, and he helped her get into bed, and he went to bed himself, knowing that she might not be there in the morning, and when he woke up, she was gone. And I praise God for the way that he's faithful to those who serve him and are faithful. My grandparents are a faithful couple all their lives. And he took my grandmother in a way that was good for her, in a way that was good for my grandfather. And I hear stories about their parents and their grandparents and their faithfulness in very difficult circumstances. And I know that my family, my siblings, there's four of us, I know that we're all walking with the Lord, and I know that that's because of God's amazing grace. But I cannot deny the significance of my earthly ancestors in their faithfulness to the Lord. And I cannot stand independent of that in my relationship with God and say it's just about God and me. And I have to attribute and thank them for their faithfulness in their lives, for what God has established in my life and in the life of my immediate family. And I thank God, I thank you for my family, and I thank you for your faithfulness to my family, and I thank you that you've worked in my ancestors faithfulness to you, which was outstanding and which I benefit from. And I wouldn't be the same person that I am today, and my family wouldn't be who they are today without the faithfulness of my ancestors. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you. Thank you. Who else wants to give thanks? It could just be that I've still got a job or I've got somewhere to live. Where, Tim?
I just want to say thanks to God because Joel and I are still breathing in and out the right time, because particularly an incident in early September when we were driving happily along the M25 and a lorry started bumping into us, and it spun us round, and we were on its bumper for about 200 yards being pushed sideways, and our lives were preserved, so we... the car was a bit worse for wear, but it's been repaired. And I'm just thankful that that God has spared our lives for something good.
Thank you, Father. Chris.
I just want to thank God for his faithfulness, in that he's been showing me this year that he doesn't see me the way that I see me all the time. And the closer that I stick with God, and the closer that, the more time I spend with God, the more like him I become. And I become a person that I like more than who I was before. And I really want to thank God for honoring that and for allowing me to do things that I would honestly never have thought he would have ever used me for.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
I just want to say thank you, Father, for who you are and everything you've done for me. And I just want to thank you for all the people here, as Les was saying, about being family. And just at times when, days when you kind of just feel you can't do any more, and there's been one or two times like that this year, then it's family here who have just come to help. And apart from obviously, you know, Father's help and believing in him and not just saying we can't do it, but he can. But it's still great to have the love and support of family here.
Thank you, Jesus. That's wonderful, Rosette. Isn't that great? Don't you feel good that she said that? I think that's brilliant. Thank you for being her family. I think that's wonderful.
I just want to thank God for all the healing in my family. Nearly everybody in my family that I've prayed for has been healed this year. So I'm just really grateful. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yes, Pumi.
I just want to thank God for how he's just shown me such amazing grace this year. I think it actually, when I think about it, when I stop to think about it, I'm just blown away by everything he's done. I mean, me coming here for my first job and how I got it, and just the doors that he's opened for me, just showed me this amazing grace that, like, I know I couldn't have done so much of this on my own. And he's just been so faithful, and even like when it's really hard, and you know, when I'm going through a lot of challenges here and starting a new life here and starting a new job, he's been really, really faithful and just surrounding me with the right people and in reminding me that he's really holding me in the palm of his hand. And
thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Steph.
Yeah, I want to echo what Sue said, really. I went through quite a rough few months, and it was amazing how family came through, how just a text at the right time, or a hug when I needed it, or just somebody being there, and actually me being aware that I had people around me that cared for me and that were praying for me, and that just meant the world for me, that I knew that I wasn't on my own. At any time, I knew there was always somebody there that was going to support me at the right time. So God was just, you know, really, you know, just showing himself through the people that, you know, it was, the timings were perfect. The timings couldn't have been any better in somebody coming to me, somebody phoning me up, somebody texting me. It was just amazing. And, yeah, just want to thank God for family here.
Praise God. I just want to bless God for making me and my family to know him, because I count it as indeed a privilege to be in him, to live in him, having an understanding that Christ in us, you know, is the hope of glory, you know, doing everything in him, you know, due to what the job I do, I understand what it means to be in darkness. So I glorify God for how he's made me and my family to be in him and to be in a place like this. And if you don't mind, I'm going to bless him with a big praise God. Praise the Lord!
Thank you. That's wonderful. Isn't that great? Yes, Mark. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I just want to thank God for his mercies, his grace, for revealing to me day by day who he is, for his protection, his guidance, his provision, for just bringing people to me that just love him and that just give me that guidance, that encouragement. I just want to thank God for every day that even when things just seem like there, even when it seems like there's no way, God makes a way. He's a God of surprises. He's a God of peace. He's the God of righteousness. He's the all-sufficient one. He's the El Shaddai. He's the God that's always there. These revelations, he just shows me day by day. I just want to thank God for that. I just want to bless him for that. I just want to bless the Lord, because in Psalm 34, verse 1, it says we should bless the Lord at all times. It doesn't matter how we feel, what the circumstances say. We should bless the Lord at all times. And I just want to bless the Lord for everything. I just want to bless him, because his mercy and truth endures forever.
And I just want to thank Father God, because at the beginning of this year, it was really quite difficult, but as the year unfolded and progressed, I can honestly say that God has actually met the deepest desires of every single member of my family. Starting off with Ephraim going to Nigeria, myself really being blessed in my workplace, receiving a deep inner healing as well. And, you know, God has answered, you know, those deep, deep prayers in your heart that aren't spoken, but they just sit there. And he's answered those prayers too. And I just really thank him for that. Yeah, it's been an amazing year. And, you know, all of our children are just rejoicing as well, in Jesus' name.
Wow, what a brilliant testimony. Thank you, Lord. Whoa, they're up for it. Hands everywhere.
I really want to thank the Lord because not long after I came here, dear Ruth here gave me a scripture which I knew was a confirmation and yet in a way seemed incredibly too impossible to happen. But the Lord has been really doing that. And beginning of this year, he gave me two scriptures from Isaiah, and Isaiah 43 and 45, and said, I'm doing a new thing. And he said, everybody's always quoting that, but said, this is real. I am doing a new thing, so watch out, pay attention. And he said, I will use you to break the bars of iron and pull down the gates of bronze. And he's done all of those things, and the scripture that Ruth gave me in amazing ways this year, and it's been absolutely staggering. He has done new things that could not, obviously it just wasn't his timing before for them to happen. And I just want to really thank God for the Pooleys, because it's their tremendous capacity to be family for me that's enabled the Lord to do all these things here in London where he brought me. So just an amazing praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Carla.
Sorry. So many things I have to thank God. The most amazing thing is that me and my family, we used to be as Martha, very anxious to work for the Lord, doing things for God, so many years, trying to please God, but what we do. And this year, God, my Father, showed me that it's best to be by his side, like Maria was, just enjoying him, just enjoying his love. Not to be condemned because I'm not doing nothing, just to be happy because I am with him. I choose the best part. And this year, we and my family choose the best part. Is being with him by his side, receiving his love and receiving his teaching and being changed and enjoying everyday life, enjoying what we do as family, enjoying my children, enjoying my family. I thought that happiness was how much people do you have saved, how many things you do for God, and nothing felt my heart as just being sitting by his side and being loved by my Father. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, so much. That is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yes, Dan, I'll come around there. Okay, it's good, Dan. I'll come back to you.
I've got lots to be thankful for this year. As I shared a couple of months ago about God healing my foot, taking a lump away, and for that healing. But also, I've got so much thank for God's provision. He gave me a wonderful wife this year. And with getting married comes a lot of expenses. And And, you know, I don't have a well-paying job. Neither of us have particularly wealthy parents at all. Roz was studying, and we were just blown away by the most amazing wedding day. We had got married in this fantastic church. We were able to have loads of friends and family come for a meal, and God just made a way for us to do it all for such low cost as well. Another way he's provided was, you know, we were thinking about how where we were going to live after we got married, and we both had a real heart for Hackney and wanted to live there, and we really wanted to be able to buy a house because renting's so expensive, and we wanted to commit there for the long term. So we thought we'll try and get somewhere to live, and we thought, you know, and I for a long time I thought there's no way I'm ever going to be able to own my own house with my income. And you know, for some reason Roz had really bad credit rating. We didn't know what that was. We thought it'd be a miracle to be able to get a mortgage or anything, but found out what the reason was. It was a problem with the bank from years ago, and they completely corrected that. We got accepted for this housing thing for people who do Christian ministry. Got offered a loan of £50,000 at a really great rate, and just with a year where we got married and all these other things, it's amazing that now we're in a position where we've been offered a mortgage, we've got a great deposit, and you know, I really don't know where it's all, well, I do know where it's all come from. And thing we just learned this year that it doesn't matter whether you've got a great job or not, it doesn't matter if your parents are wealthy or anything. What matters is that you trust God as your provider, and he's blessed us so much this year. So that's what I'm massively thankful to God for.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Dan. Ezekiel, I think you'll be the last one. We have to move on.
Ephraim. Well, Ezekiel is a bit taller. I just want to thank God so much for what he has done. For the first time, I've been to Nigeria after 28 years. I went in January and I came back in July. And a lot of things happened in Nigeria, which if I start to say it here, I won't have time. But recently, the devil stole my bicycle. I had a lovely bicycle I was using for almost 3 years. And I complained to the Lord. I said, look, now I don't have any bicycle. I don't have any car. And all of a sudden, somebody in the internet gave me a legend, a bicycle, even much better than the one I have now. You know, and also when I went to Nigeria, Elaine threw away all my bicycle, a lot of things. And I promised one of our neighbor a bike upstairs. So I was telling the Lord, where can I get a bike to give to the young boy? He's about 8 years old. But because Elaine has already threw away all of my things, you know, I like keeping things, but she likes throwing them away. So 3 days ago, while I was coming through, I saw a bike. So I went to the neighbor. I said, neighbor, what do you need that bike? He said, no, you can take it. So he said, okay, you can take the bike. So now I've got a bike for the young boy upstairs. I want to end by singing one lovely song. And while in Nigeria, I used to sing that song every day. It's called He is Lord. And if you know the song, please sing with me. He is Lord. He is Lord. Amen. He has risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every name every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that brilliant? What a family we've got here. That is so good. And I'm sure that as you went, you could have had many more. But I'm sure you want to get to your coffee and your mince pies in due course. But Ezekiel has got a rap, and I heard it on, and I thought, this is so good. And I asked him if he would come and do his rap for us before our choir blasts us into glory. So let's welcome Ezekiel. Bless you, man.
Thank you for doing this for us. I was doing like a track, it's called It's Been a Long Time. It's a remix from an artist that me and my friend, we just decided to, you know, make a song. And basically, it's just about church, really, and life. I'm sorry that he's not here at the moment. He's got to do some presentations at his church, but if he didn't, he'll be here rapping with me. But with the track, I'm just going to be I'll just get on with it. Yeah, I've got his version of as well, so I'm just going to try sing along to his bit. And be in the intimate place again. Since I've been to church, too much work, just wanna worship you. And like the meal deal, I'll purchase you. Yeah, I'm the jack of all trades, the master of art. I'm spitting with the same force that made Jericho fall. But sometimes I'm not feeling it at all. It's like you're not always there to catch me when I fall. AI, when haters say I'm the master of none. Say I'm pushing airtime like the Avatar son. Say I'm sending airtime like the prodigal son. Pushing sound waves to your eardrum. I forget, I go church on a Monday. Feels like my week's feeding my rage from my son. This one day, I like to make a difference and stand up. Man up, take away my ignorance, put my hands up. Start a new beginning, so I'll man up with a breed of new soldiers. Stop behaving like a little kid, yeah, and zip my fang up. See, I forgot you were indescribable, never unreliable, perfectly designed to the pitch of the higher call. Render your heart before your gum starts. Your idols fall like the walls of Jericho, make your sin fall like the walls of Jericho. Then I hit it through your stereo. Render your heart before your gum start tripping. Look at your own sin before you catch others slipping. I don't get it. Why are your people bearing false witness? No evidence like the paparazzi taking pictures. Or pick this, Jesus Christ, death for me, a new truth nailed on a lowercase t. Trust and believe, and you'll see him be greater than any God will with lowercase g. Trust in him and believe, and you'll see him being greater than any God with a lowercase g.
Thank you, guys. That's brilliant.